the Dragons, Gazelles, and Unicorns podcast. I'm Rosamund Truman, founder and CEO of the Center for Advanced Innovation, and it's my pleasure today to welcome Harriet and Shehin Eniyati on the podcast. They are friends, colleagues, serial entrepreneurs, and amazing members of society that truly want to make an impact in the world, and they already have. Thank you for coming on the podcast today. I'm thrilled.
Thank you for having us.
So could you tell us a little bit about your background and how did you get to where you are?
Harry, would you like to?
Sure, I'll start. So we both have beginnings differently, I guess. I started in kind of corporate America working with an insurance company and went from being a customer service rep all the way up to director of operations and learned so much in that 8-year spread that I am thankful for the corporate experience and understanding, but it also taught me that I wanted to be my own boss. And that's when Shaheen and I were together and figured out that, hey, we need to take things into our own control and start things on our own. And so we started with real estate because that's what we understood the best and moved from that using, you know, money that we were able to gain to build and buy businesses and be entrepreneurs in multiple different fronts. And I'd say the beginnings were more on community-based, you know, we're living somewhere and we see a need. And so we fill that need. For example, we lived in China for 4 years and we came to a point where our son needed an elementary and I couldn't find one that not elementary, kindergarten. And we couldn't find one that I liked. And so instead of homeschooling, we decided to make our own. And so we opened a small Montessori kindergarten in China that filled our needs, which was, it was a virtues and character-based curriculum with the Montessori method as well, and was Chinese and English, and really a beautiful space and lovely and filled the need for families that were looking for alternative education. And then because of life, we had to move to Panama. We handed that school over to somebody else. And in Panama, we found many ways to be useful for the local community. One is a fermentation, kombucha, kimchi, you know, because that's our passion. We love food. We're plant-based. And so we kind of find the niches that match our passion and community need. And then as we're, you know, developing through this, usually one of us would take a lead in one of the businesses or ventures, and the other one would kind of figured out that some of our, what we're doing in life was what other people wanted. And so we started Made Noble as a consulting arm, specifically in China, because people were asking, well, how'd you do this? How do you start a business? How do you do, you know, where do you get, you know, to where you are? And so it began as a consulting arm. And then as we found our way with these companies and through other investments as well, and they're like, oh, we have enough money to support others. And so Made Noble became more of a accelerator, incubator of passion-driven, purpose-driven founders. But Shaheen has even more about his foundation as well. So I'm sure he can fill in the gaps that I didn't say.
Well, I think Carrie did a wonderful job of summarizing our last 20 years of life. And I mean, prior to that, I was in the, I worked for a CRO. And in a CRO, we worked for pharma as a biotech companies. And I used to live and work in Montreal. Then I moved to Toronto and San Diego. I got recruited by a company. And then back, you know, off to the Bay Area. And kind of like Carrie, you know, working up this this ladder, so to speak, the corporate ladder, it really allowed me to see various different aspects of what's required to build a business, and how do you then take what you learn and build on it for others, so that other startups can benefit from your life experience. And so that's kind of how we launched all these things that Carrie talked about. And right now we're in the process of having a fund or an SPV that can actually tailor its, you know, raising of financial instruments so that we can then invest in startups.
Okay. Well, it's very interesting. You both started in corporate America, and Carrie, that story about starting in customer service and then becoming the director of operations, I love it. I mean, you probably use that every single day, that experience.
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of from the starting, you know, you learn so much from the ground, you know, when you're in there with the customer. I think learning customer service was probably the best skill you can learn in any business experience, because you have to be able to connect with the customer. And so I'm grateful for all the levels. I mean, from supervisor to implementation manager to project manager, there were so many places I filled. And I was talking to a founder today, actually, and she was talking about her experience. And I connected with it because she made me think about something. When there were many positions I filled in that company where I was the first, you know, the first person to fill that position. And she had a similar experience, but she said, I always had this like entrepreneurial bug, you know, inside me. And so now she's created something new. But I thought, wow, that is something to think about. You know, when you're an employee and you're in a company and you're able to create a new position, that's a sign that maybe you're entrepreneurial, you know, in your blood. So I thought that was interesting.
Wow. So I have that same experience. When I was at Goldman, I was the first analyst hired in the stock block desk. And it was very interesting because every morning I had to create the tear sheet for all these traders. And I'm like the only woman in the room. and this tear sheet is where they're going to put their $2 to $3 billion that day. And you know, they agree or disagree with me, but I was entertaining at least. And then I don't know what happened to you, but they figured out how to haze me. to this day, I'm addicted to hot food. The level of spice.
Wow.
So Made Noble, you're it's consulting, and you're consulting on how to start and run a business.
So in the beginning, yes. So consulting was more business development. You know, existing companies wanting to know how to expand, how to you know, tap into marketing. It was kind of that. That was where we began. And then now we've converted it more to a, we work with existing companies, but focus mainly on startups and early stage that are discovering what they want to bring to the world. And we do that through the Purpose Launchpad and use a methodology that looks at all aspects of business and how to make it sustainable and a venture that will succeed and be impactful. So
and to be fair, Made Noble actually just started as a personal initiative that Carrie and I just we needed a company to do some of our work within a structure, and so we created this umbrella. And like Carrie mentioned, you know, we started by investing in apartment buildings and self-storage complexes, And we realized that was a little bit boring as well. it's a good sound business that creates cash flow and creates a way for you to live your life. But at the end of the day, you know, that's in the background. It's what you want to do with your life, the purpose you want to create, and the purpose you want to drive in businesses. So, like Carrie mentioned, our company evolved from that to present situation where we are mentors to startups, we're mentors to people and teams, and we use this Purpose Launchpad as a sounding board to figure out where they are in the spectrum of building a business.
Well, I know that the listeners would love to learn more about the Purpose Launchpad. Can you go into a little bit more detail on that?
Absolutely. So Purpose Launchpad is actually, I'll mention his name. His name is Francisco Palau. He's from Spain. He's a wonderful, wonderful human being that started something called the EXO with Salim Ismail. And exponential organizations have several aspects of building their businesses. And so they've figured out what's involved in doing that. Now, Francisco then launched Purpose Launchpad, which was only last year, thanks to COVID. You know, it kind of created this pressure in the world where we as a community need to help build better businesses. And so Purpose Launchpad was a collaboration of many people, and you can find them on purposealliance.com. And what it entails is 8 axes that fill this circle that allows a business to be fully created from purpose, which is very critical. You know, so if you don't have a North Star by which you can drive your business, then you don't have a business. So purpose is key. And then the people, the team that's involved, to customers. Many companies don't really understand who their customers are. The startups don't understand that, and some companies don't understand it. So how do you then evaluate that? What kind of customer segment interviews do you do? How do you? So it takes you through all these 8 axes, and it's brilliant. So you can look them up, or you can reach out to us. We'll be happy to share with you.
Thank you. So you are helping startups now that are purpose driven, and what kind of purpose do you look for?
Okay, so because Carrie and I are, and our family are vegan or plant-based, as you call them, we used to be called vegan 15 years ago, and being vegan was a little weird at that point, and now it's turned into this plant-based boom in the world, which is excellent. But all of our businesses tend to be impact-oriented. So they need to create a difference, make a difference in the world, from bettering education to agriculture to even medical technology and you know, biotech. So all these elements is like, how do you then look at the purpose as to how do we better the world, and so that when we move away from this world, to pass away, we leave it in a better place.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to add that another important element to purpose is unity. And unity sometimes is seen as like a fluffy, you know, characteristic, or, you know, something that's talked about when we need to resolve something. But unity has a much bigger scope of life, you know, and when you're in tune with a purpose that unifies you with your customer, that unifies you with your community, that makes everything aligned, then your purpose can be different. You know, maybe it doesn't fit our purpose where we plant-based and we want to make sure things are better. But when you find a purpose that aligns you with your consumer and your community, then you are truly in a unified position of life. And so I think that's also important for us, that element.
And is there like an evaluation methodology that you use for impact beyond unity?
So yeah, I mean, I think,
as an example,
yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry. As an example, we have a platform called Ignite Social Impact, which is a product equity platform where social impact companies can float and raise up to $5 million. And we have an evaluation model we use, and part is based on the United Nations SDGs and ESGs, but we also look for, you know, some other elements as well. So I'm just curious if there's some specific ways of the way you look at impact orientation.
I think for us, it's more of a qualitative process. I would love to have a tool that actually allows me to drive it. So, and I think it's coming. And I know you guys have done some work with some tools that help you analyze personalities as well as you know, purpose. And so I'm sure maybe if we can work on it together. But I think for us, it's looking at the SDG goals. That's a big part for us. Mm-hmm. That every initiative that we work with has to be in line with at least one of them, you know, where many times they're covering two or three. So I think that's a big part of it. And then the commitment, you know, there's an agreement that we have the startup sign that says, I agree to give a certain percentage towards, you know, community give back starting, you know.
Oh, I love that.
Sales. Yeah.
I'm feeling that one. That's great. And I'd love to work on it with you together. Yeah, that's fantastic.
I think it's important. Yeah, no, because you know, everyone can say, oh, when I'm making it, when I have extra money, I will give. But to commit to day one, when I make my first sale, that 5 cents is going to go, you know, to somebody, is an important commitment to see that the founders that we work with are committed to, you know. So that's a part of it. And it doesn't always have to be money that goes, but maybe there's something that is a impact-driven process.
So you're in the middle of this ecosystem where you are engaging with lots of different accelerators and startup programs. What are some of the ones that have been the most outstanding? What are the characteristics that you have observed?
Go ahead, Shane, if you want to take
it. Okay, yeah, I mean, by far, Rosemary, I think you have one incredible accelerator program that we love and we're excited to be part of, and we look forward to much more involvement with Center for Advancing Innovation. The other accelerator is, I think we mentioned to you, the Purpose Alliance, and in its mentoring program, there's an accelerator program as well called Purpose Evolver. And
Purpose Evolver?
Evolver, yeah, as in the evolution of a startup.
Interesting.
And it has a very interesting model as well. It has 10 weeks of 1 week sprints, and these 1 week sprints allow the startup to move forward from their exploration phase to the impact phase.
How many sprints are there?
10.
10 sprints. Yeah. And so is it a sprint and then there's some time off?
No. It's 10 straight weeks.
10 straight weeks.
Yeah.
And is it
10 straight weeks? And that's typical of any purpose mentors that are Purpose Alliance mentors that are helping startups. Now, with Purpose Evolver, it's actually for a full year. It's not for 10 weeks. It's for a full year, and their accelerator takes them from an idea or a startup stage to, you know, their goal for that year.
Okay, interesting. So how can people participate in that program, in the 10-week program?
Yeah, the 10-week sprints can be done through myself or through Carrie, and we can work with them through Made Noble, so they could contact us there. And then once we help these startups get through a certain stage of it, then we can also align them with the community at hand through Purpose Alliance and Purpose Evolver.
Okay. And what stage of companies do you look for?
Carrie and I are most passionate about early stage, you know, early stage from ideas to you know, something that needs a little bit of seed capital, or pre-seed to seed is what we're mostly interested in with Made Noble and with Sustained Equity. Now, that's not to say that we're also pretty passionate about some businesses that are looking to outright sell. You know, there are some companies out there that the founders are tired. They've built a company, they've launched, they've got to a point where they then, you know, need some new brain, some new soul within the company, and they want to just outright sell the business. So we look at those as well, so Sustain Equity, which is our sister company.
And so when you work with startups, do they pay you for it, or do you take equity, or both?
Right now, we have not charged any startups any financial, anything.
Everybody should be listening to this.
Yeah. We have limited capacity. So because of that, we pick and choose the startups that we want to work with and that we're most passionate about. Now, eventually, we do get to the point where we can help raise funds. And when we raise funds, then there is a fee structure associated with that. And then with respect to the accelerator program, there is a small percentage as an advisory role over time that vests with KPIs, other things that we can help them get done.
Okay. Excellent. So has can people participate remotely? Or can they be engaged?
This is the beauty. This is the absolute beauty of Zoom. And I know that the last year has been a little bit of a roller coaster ride with the virus, and everybody's being stuck in their homes. But it's kind of created this very, very level playing field, from investors to mentors to startups to businesses, and we can now be in each other's living rooms and workplaces and really get involved with building businesses. It doesn't matter where they are in the world. So yes, definitely virtually. We would love to get to the point where we can actually visit the startups and visit the founders and hug people. I miss that a lot.
Yeah, I know. I do too. Although I do want to come visit there. Panama.
Welcome.
So it sounds like the coronavirus hasn't really impacted. Have you seen it impact investing?
I almost think that it's made the playing field a little more level. Mm-hmm. Because, I would say beforehand, you'd have groups that got together to learn about new deals and if you weren't part of that group, you couldn't get to it. And now there are so many online pitching, so much that is accessible to anyone who can actually sign up for that Zoom call, that now it's become more accessible, I think, to people. And they're seeing, and like Ignite, you have Ignite. Yeah, crowdfunding is another very good example of how it's becoming something that anyone can do now. So it's a wonderful thing, I think.
It's absolutely brilliant, Rosemary. I mean, to focus a little bit more on Ignite and what you have created with Ignite along with your team. I think it's important to understand that now with crowdfunding, you can have an idea and then you can actually validate this idea by, personally creating a pitch deck and a little video, and you can do that with your phones, and you can figure out everything with respect to your business, put it on a crowdfunding source like Ignite, and then validate whether your business model makes sense to the customer, because the people that are going to invest in you are going to then realize, wait, I'm a customer, I would love to buy that product. Why shouldn't I just invest in them? I can put in $50, or I can put in $5,000, or I can put in $100,000. That's up to me as an individual. But now your crowdfunded website, Ignite, is going to do that. It's going to create even more of a level playing field for everyone.
Yeah, I'm so excited about the changing of the rules. The fact they allow testing the waters, the STVs that you can now have a single line of the cap table with the SPVs and the $5 million. I mean, it's going to dramatically change the dynamics. I was walking some people through yesterday, some of the statistics in crowd equity. And it's amazing. It went up 109% from 2019 to 2020. And it's actually going to explode. I mean, now that accredited investors don't have a limitation, it's amazing. If you're Jeff Bezos, you can only put $107,000. And now there's no limitation, which is fantastic, but it's just, the new rules are really gonna open things up. So it's very, very exciting. We're also evaluating a lot of really cool companies that come onto the platform. So anyone listening out there wants to raise $5 million and have a social impact company, go to Ignite Social Impact. So do you think we're turning a corner? Or What do you see out there?
With respect to the virus or with respect to business or
I think with respect to everything. I mean, thank God it's springtime and the virus, like we have a lot of people vaccinated. You know, business was really, you know, horrible for a lot of companies. And, you know, it's really interesting. I was listening to Marketplace and there are so many restaurants that can't hire enough people. So, wow. Yeah, it's good. It makes me happy. I like to go into a restaurant and see, you know, not fully filled, but, you know, socially distanced and making money at least.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Personally, I can say that I'm super optimistic and always, I think I've always been super optimistic about this wonderful world we live in and human beings. You know, human beings are very creative. They're very super smart in creating solutions that make our world a better place. And when we have created a problem like climate issues, we have started to fumble on ourselves with regards to solutions. I mean, you know, we have clean tech is going crazy with all these amazing solutions from wind turbines to solar panels and lowering the cost of solar panels to electric vehicles. So yes, totally optimistic about the world we live in. I don't think we need to go populate Mars in the next 10 years like Elon Musk does. I truly believe that we need to save our planet and we need to be smart about it and recycle, reuse, reduce waste, those kind of things.
And I think too, I think we're turning a corner in investing as well, because there are many more conversations about the social impact of companies. And Shahin and I have believed for a long time that business is personal and that what you put out into the world is actually your creation. And so when we do business, it's not a corporate thing. It's not it's just business. It's actually how we make the world a better place. And so I think the conversations about impact-driven founders, impact-driven companies, social entrepreneurship, all of that is becoming a norm and I think an expected thing, you know, and I believe we're truly heading to that space. And I think that's wonderful. I'm so happy to see so many people focusing on that.
I think something interesting that you mentioned was that you said you believe doing business is personal. Mm-hmm. And it's about building relationships. And I think a lot of people think about business as just a transaction. Yeah. So how do you realize that when you're working with startups? I mean, to me, it almost seems like it's a little mini marriage.
Yeah.
It totally is.
It totally is. Yeah. Yeah. I'll start, Sean, and I'll fill in the gaps that I missed, but when we look to connect with a startup and, you know, invest or help them with accelerating whatever it is that we're doing as a partner, we do look at it as a marriage. And we tell them that. We say, you know, getting to know you is important to us because we are going to be in this through the thick and thin. And Shaheen and I know that through marriage, you're constantly, there's ebbs and flows to life. And so you have to be able to want to be with that partner in the rough times, as well as celebrate in the great times, you know? And so I think it's essential for us to think of it in that way. Do you have anything to add, Shaheen? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, if you're looking at this analogy of marriage, some marriages end up having children as well. And a startup is very much like that child. So if you're looking at the founders and investors and mentors, the team as the married couple, as an analogy goes, the startup itself is the child or the baby. And you want to do your utmost in making sure in its early stages that it's cared for, that it has the right nutrition, it has the right health. And so, you know, if you're looking at business is personal, which is what we use all the time in our verbiage, everything you do to that child or to our marriage affects each other. So it's a very circular way of looking at things. And so you cannot separate business from your personal life, because, you know, even if you are in a day long meeting with someone and it's all business and they insult you, or they hurt your feelings, or they do something that's detrimental to your business, it's going to impact you and your family when you get home. And so there is no dividing line. Oh, look, I'm going to shut my door now, and now I'm back into my family life. No, I think it's very connected.
I like it. I believe that too. I mean, just basically, I'm very fortunate. As you know, I have a fantastic team, and they're kind of like my family. You
know? Absolutely. And we love to be part of your family as well.
So you are a part of my family too, because I mean, we have, you know, just for everybody listening, we have conference calls every week. It's awesome.
Oh yeah, yes. And we have virtual hugs.
Oh, there virtual we go. Thank you. It's really interesting, you know, when I've had certain clients and we do the deal, and like every time they've seen me, they give me a hug, and I'm just like, what did I do to deserve that? As a child, it was not a hugging family or mom, as she said, but I really enjoyed that with some clients. You're talking about some of the things that you celebrate and, you know, some things you have to go through to be an entrepreneur. Do you have any stories to tell us about your kind of big successes where you celebrated and some of the things that you would do differently because it fell down the wrong way?
Well, I think things that we've learned is that when you partner with somebody, that the thing that's difficult to test sometimes is grit and how much someone can stick with something. Because you can be, you know, just like in of course, going back to the marriage part, when you're dating somebody, it's fun. It's, you know, your best self, and they're their best self, and everything is wonderful. And that's sort of like the beginning of an investor and founder relationship, where you're like, wow, this founder is doing so many innovating things, and they're passionate, and they're this. But the grit is what pushes you through, right? It's what makes the founder, when something doesn't go right, what something doesn't happen the way they want, do they get totally depressed and just go, well, I guess that didn't work? Or do they say, all right, what are we going to try today? You know, like, is that, you know, what that, I think, has been something we have perfected a little bit every time we've invested with a founder, to understand more about what makes somebody tick, you know? And that, I think, has been something we're still learning, even, you know, it's something, because every personality is a little different. So that testing ground is important. Shine, I'm sure you have something to
share. Well, I mean, just that there is no turnkey solution. I mean, you know, it is definitely an art form. Mm-hmm. So from what little experience we have, and I know there are other people who have a wealth more experience in investing and building companies. You know, we have this incy-wincy little dot on a blackboard of an experience. And with that little dot of experience, I would say that the key factor is building relationships. Mm-hmm. So if you look at yourself as a business person and you look at your business as a series of breakthroughs, we are then going to make it through this hurdle and then make it through that hurdle and over again. Then you start to look at life a little differently, and you understand that everything is about relationships, from investor relations, you know, when you're working with our investors, to customer relations, which we talked about earlier, and understanding that your customers not just outside but also inside, so your team members, and so I think personality is a key feature that is integral to the founder. So they need to be able to communicate well. They need to be able to roll with the punches, not get upset when somebody is telling them something that could be fundamentally flawed in their idea or their business, but looking to pivot and develop a better one.
Well, I certainly agree with you. We've had this conversation before, but we find that we do this, the fluid intelligence test. And the first half of that test is, it's really interesting. When they give you the instructions, they say, make sure you've eaten something before you take the test, because it's like it lasts an hour and a half to 2 hours, something like that. But the first half of the test tests, it's like these little puzzles that they give you when you're a child, and they get progressively harder. And so like you're tired halfway through, because then the tests get harder and harder, and it tests your ability to pivot essentially, or to learn quickly and learn, you know, nuances about what the next picture is. And then the second half is measuring, you know, openness, narcissism, troublemaker score, conscientiousness. Mm-hmm. And so based on Jordan Peterson's research, he found that the openness score is the number one score for startups. And that's really true. I mean, if the startups don't have a 90% or above openness score, they don't really, we shouldn't really be a startup. And when we launched like 300 plus companies, and it was interesting at the beginning when we were starting this journey of launching companies over the last 6 years. What I was surprised about is because I've put together hundreds of teams and, you know, around the world, through, you know, when I ran IBM's innovation strategy practice globally, and the teams rarely would fall apart. I mean, they maybe just because they're getting paid and, you know, but they're driven. And I picked carefully too, but then, you know, watching these startups, you know, some team members just flake out, you know, fall apart. Constantly developing the relationship amongst the teams and the communication skills that you mentioned are so vital. I can't agree more. So were there things that you've learned that you'd like to offer to the entrepreneurs that are listening today? Given your experience, what would you say the critical success factors are, other than, you know, building relationships? Although I want to go a little bit deeper into the relationship part.
Well, I mean, I think one thing before we get into the relationship part is, the first question I always ask every founder that I talk to is, have you spoken to your customer? Who's your customer? And I think a lot of times that's the missing link, because, you know, especially entrepreneurs who are inventors or innovators, they may come up with something that they think is absolutely fabulous, and it could be totally cool and really got a lot of flashing lights and everything, but do they know that there's a customer that wants that, you know, that will pay for it? And so I think that's I think the first thing to start with. You know, when you want to begin a venture or you have a great idea, always figure out who's going to buy it first, so that you know if this needs to be philanthropic or if it's going to be a business model.
So. I would say don't do it alone. You know, there are many people that think they have a great idea and they think it's the most unique idea and it's going to be the unicorn or it's going to make them famous. Don't do it alone. If you can get a business partner, get a co-founder, get a mentor, get a bunch of people with you and have fun with it. And know it's not the last thing you're going to do. You know, you're going to do it. You might succeed at it. You probably will fail at it. When you fail at it, you better make sure that the people that are around you are going to support you and that you're going to go try another thing again. You know, Edison didn't succeed the first time with the light bulb. And most entrepreneurs, most creative kinds have so many ideas, and you're not the only one with the idea. This idea is out there in the universe and someone has to succeed at it. And if it's not going to be you, someone else will. So don't hold on to the idea. Hold on to the relief.
Yes. It's so interesting how people will dig a hole to China. Oh. When they're told that it's like the baby isn't, you know, that attractive, they're still going, you know. I always wonder, you know, when we spend this $140 to $160 billion a year, and lots of ideas are failed. There's never a paper put out about the ideas that failed. So I wonder how many times we redo the same idea over and over again, because this is, there's nothing written up about it. Because people don't want to say this doesn't work, you know?
Right. Yeah. I'm always impressed when somebody has pivoted. You know, that I love hearing those stories within a founder where they say, we started with this, but we realized it didn't work and we pivoted and now this is what we are. You know, I think that's always very, very good to hear.
You reminded me of something that we've been meaning to do for quite a while now, is that, you know, we as people in general, you know, we like to have our resumes and all the wonderful things we have done, but we do not take note of all the things that we've failed at. And we should each have a resume, a notebook with, it was my idea. I mean, I heard it somewhere. I'm not saying that it's my idea, please don't take it that way. I have developed around it. And I think it's very important that we should all take note of all our failures, because those things allow us to understand that we have tried that and we did fail at it, but we then modified that behavior, whether it's in our personalities or whether it's in the business that we do. We should definitely have a resume of failures.
I love that idea. I'm working on a resume I'm trying to think of the right words about the fact that I'm accident prone. Totally accident prone. I don't know if I told you, 6 car crashes, 2 airplane crashes. Someone put an arrow through my knee, straight through my knee. Tom Bowen. Yeah. If it's gonna happen, it's gonna happen to me. But fortunately, I'm still around, so.
Wow.
I love that
the
idea.
Question, Rosemary, is, the question, Rosemary, is that we know you've survived. How many people around you have died?
actually, I don't know the answer to that question. That is
okay.
That worries me sometimes, because I'll never forget, actually, New Orleans, this big, huge truck driver. I mean, truck hit my neck, my car. It basically was, just went to nothing. And I was not awake in the car. This is not on the rest of what we're supposed to be talking about, but it is entertaining. somebody who was running by got me out of the car before it blew up. Because I wasn't awake. But I kept asking what happened to the driver of the truck, and the police officer wouldn't tell me. And I worry about that. So I do worry about that sometimes, because I don't know the answer to that question in all cases. But I know in the airplane crashes, everybody was okay.
That's good. I'll get on a plane with you then.
Okay, it's good. Actually, probably no one who's listening will ever get on a plane with me now. if you're trying to coach someone, one of your startups, about how to build a relationship, what do you think the fundamentals are if they just are unaware? Because I think a lot of people I think awareness to me is so critical. Like, they don't have any perception of when someone talks to them, they don't realize that it's hurtful. For example, actually the other day, Cody mentioned to me that when I don't say hi, Cody, in my text messages, if I just say Cody, it's like, Pearson. Never knew it. So of course I say hi, Cody. But what are your the pixie dust of for relationships?
Well, I think I'll give it a little.
Go ahead, Cody.
I guess what's worked for us is being very clear from the start that open communication is the most important aspect, right? So when we haven't made that very clear with whether it be employees or friends or founders or what have you, there tends to be some miscommunication that happens throughout the line. But the people that we have been very clear from the beginning that we want open communication, we want to know when something feels wrong, we want to know when you need help, we want to know, you know, like we need to be communicating constantly. Those relationships are much better.
Yeah.
Because they are without a film. You know, they're not, they're the person doesn't think, oh, I can't tell them this because they might think I am not able to do it. Or, you know, like when someone understands that you want to know when they're struggling, that's the most important thing for truly unbiased or transparency between the relationship. And I think communication is key, is actually the basis. And integrity, making sure that you figure out what core values are important to you and what are important to them. And that comes with self, you know, knowledge, self-actualization, understanding who you are. Many people don't take the time to figure that out first as well. And so many times we're bouncing things off other people that actually is something we have an issue within us, you know, instead of the person outside. So all of that, I think, in a nutshell, is how to do better. Go ahead, Shine.
No, well said, was it? I mean, transparency, integrity are key factors. I think one of the elements that actually will test those how transparent it is, how much integrity a person has, as in what, whether they will do what they say they're gonna do, will all come out over time. So time, I think, is a very important element in getting to know each other and building something together, and not thinking of it as scarce. Yes, we do all have limited lifetime, and you know we're going to live to maybe 150 years if all these longevity things and gene therapy stuff works. But if it even if you live to 150, it's a very short life.
And they don't get in the car with me. And they don't get in the car with me. Sorry.
I have no fears of that. I'll definitely get a ride. So, but I would say time is a key element. You know, you really, really get to know people through time and experiences. Mm-hmm. And whether this person or yourself look at life and product and service and whatever else we do in life as doing it in excellence. So not to do things average or below average, but to know that you're going to leave something behind. And let's say you do end up dying in a car crash or by a compound bow that went through your knee. But you know, that could happen to any one of us. So why not live each and every single day to its fullest, so that if we happen to not wake up the next morning, we know we have lived our life in excellence. And we know we've lived our life with humility and love. And all these elements are key things in every startup, business, and life.
And I think that gets to another point that, you know, for many years, at least in growing up, it was kind of taboo to talk about religion or spirituality, and you know, you would be classified as something else. But now with meditation and visualization and all of these things that are becoming a common terminology or conversation in life, actually are also helping the relationships, right? So Shaheen and I are Baha'i by religion, and it's not about the name, you know, it's not about what you call yourself, but you need to find that higher purpose, whether it's through meditation, whether it's through a religion, whether it's through something that gives you a higher purpose. That also, when you know, it doesn't mean your founder, your co-founder, or your marriage partner, or your friend have to be the same. If you already have it within yourself, then your connection with other people is better, you know? And there are so many ways to finding that it's accessible to everybody, you know, to find a peace, a understanding of true purpose, right? Of true direction. So I think that's part of it.
So if the people on this call don't know what their purpose is, or they haven't really done that self-examination, what would you suggest they do?
Definitely call us. We would love to help brainstorm, heartstorm their massive transformative purpose. There are tools out there. You can look it up on a web. But again, you know, doing it with someone is always the better way to do things. And then you develop this purpose, your personal purpose, but also your business's massive transformative purpose that's going to change the world.
Well, is there anything else that you wanted to leave the listeners with today?
Go ahead, Shai. You want to
go? I would say these are very exciting times. We know from Friedman that he talked about the world being flat, and that was like 15 years ago. We now know very well that not only is it round, but very transparent. So we could be communicating and working with people all over the world. So that's super exciting. Thanks to the Zoom and other forms of Star Trek-like experiences. We are now, you know, able to be in each other's living rooms and dining rooms and brainstorm and heartstorm any idea that people have. So I think these are very exciting times that people should embrace and do what your heart is telling you to do and build what you want to build and go to bed knowing that that might be your last night. So do it the best way you can.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you all for being on the podcast. And I just want to summarize some of the points that you all made during the course of this hour. So purposealliance.com. So go there and check it out. I love the thing that you said you have at this agreement that you asked the startup to sign that has community service in it. Just wonderful.
It's a giving pledge. It's called a giving pledge.
Giving pledge. Okay, thank you. Business is personal. Can't separate those. Build a relationship. The idea that you have is you build relationships, not with just companies, your team, your customers. And then what you do is you look for impact-oriented companies and ones that have unity with the community and the customer. And one thing that you all could help startups with is the 10-week sprint. And so how do people reach you? How would you like to be reached? We can put your contact information in the podcast notes.
Yeah, they can go to madenoble.com that's probably the best way.
They link to each other, so madenoble.com and then there's sustainequity.com.
Okay, perfect. One of the things you learned, which I love, is when you look for startups to work with, is grit. You know, how do you push through things? And one of the other key factors is, as we mentioned before, relationships, investor relations, customer relations, team relations. And one of the first things you ask is, have you spoken to the customer? And also don't do it alone. Have a team that will support you. And when you're trying to build relationships, open communication is most important. Making that very clear. Transparency and integrity are also very important. And finding that higher purpose helps with your relationships and as well. You know, I find interesting is that it's also, when you are engaging with startups, it's the communication, the transparency is really important. It's also how you say things, the tone. I mean, you're speaking when you're even, this is speaking, right? Body language, how much body language comes out. And lastly, thank you so much for recognizing and Ignite Social Impact in the Center for Business Innovation. I'm very grateful for your support and your working with us. I'm looking forward to the future. So thanks again for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Rosemary. This was fun. Thank you for the time.
You're welcome. Yeah. You're welcome. Take care.
See you soon.